This morning's scripture reading is from Colossians 1, verses 28 and 29. Colossians 1, verses 28 and 29. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. Praise God. Now, we're in this season that we are looking for God's guidance in our next lead pastor. And I know many of you are praying about that, and I want you to continue to pray about that because we want a recognition of the man that God has for us. But I want to challenge you this morning with this thought. As we seek God's guidance in recognizing his choice for our next lead pastor, let us first examine our own hearts. Are we mature, ministering, eager to labor alongside of God's chosen servant? The goal of ministry is not merely participation, but spiritual maturity, becoming fully equipped and actively ministering members of the body. And I want to ask myself, and I want to ask you, are we really seeking to be the type of men and women that God would send one of his servants to us? Because if that servant comes to us, he's going to come to us with a mandate from God to try to equip us to be mature ministering saints. And if we don't want to be mature, if we're not mature, we're only going to make his job hard. And why should God send one of his chosen servants to us if we're not willing to get with the program? So what I want you to do, instead of complaining about, well, what kind of guy are they going to get? What that people doing over there? Well, ooh, I hope they get this guy. I hope they get this. Oh, I don't want them to get that guy. Try to be the man or woman of God he wants you to be. And when God brings him here, we'll be all right, right? Praise God. Well, we just went through Thank Week. It was a great week on prayer, a weekend on prayer. And then last week, you were blessed with a bald-headed preacher. And I'm following because the bald heads are going to take over. I'm telling you this. But praise God for Mitch DePloyd. He preached a great message, man. I'm blessed to be around this people we have here. But we're here today, and we're going to be looking. Another thing I want to say before I get into the sermon here. Every Wednesday at 9:45, whoever's preaching the coming Sunday, all the preachers of the church, pastors of the church, come and surround them and pray for them. Because we seriously need the power of God. And we are here in his power. This morning I'm going to go over 3 points. The title of the sermon is The Ministry of the Mystery. We're going to talk about the message of the ministry, which is Christ. We're going to talk about the goal of the ministry, which is disciples. And then we're going to talk about the method of the ministry, our involvement as we struggle and work hard to be the people that God wants us to be. And so as we think about this whole concept of the message of the ministry, the message of the ministry is Christ. Colossians 1:28 says, him we preach. Who is he? It's Jesus Christ. Him we preach. Then he says, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, so that we might present every man perfect in Christ. That every man is every person, every believer. You and I are in a church that is committed to the word of God, committed to the people of God, committed to the will of God, and therefore we preach the message of the Son of God. He is the complete thing. If you're saved by the grace of God, you don't need anything else. God has saved, he died for you, he was buried, he arose again, and you and I, when we repent of our sins and place our faith on Christ, we are given his righteousness, we are complete in him, and any message that comes to us that tells us we need something instead of Christ is a false message. You and I live in a day of scams, all kind of scams. They scam you this, scam you that. You get these things on your phone. Oh, you owe a bill. Why don't you just tack on me and I'll tell you what you owe. I'm not tacking on anything because too much scams are out here, folks. They get your name. They get your phone number. They sound right. They want to get the number to your passwords. They want to get the number to your bank. And then they want to take money from you. It's a scam. Well, he says, I'm warning, we're warning, we're warning. We're warning you that there are scams within the Christian ministry. There are false prophets. There are people who come who will deceive you in thinking that you're spiritual and headed to hell, headed to heaven when you're headed to hell. There are a lot of people going to hell through the back door of the church. They're church members, but they don't know Christ. And then there are those of us who know Christ, but we haven't been taught and we're not maturing. And so we get all off, bent out of shape on these things. And Paul just says to these Colossian saints, we're warning you, we preach him. Who is the him that he preached? Jesus Christ. You know what the glory, and Mitch preached a great message about the glory, God's glory is in us. That's the Son of God, it's in us. But you know what that is? So the mystery is he's in all of us, black, white, red, yellow, poor, educated, uneducated, American, non-American, if you're saved and born again. Christ in us. That makes us one. We're a family. We're one body because of that. And he says, I just want to warn you, says somebody, lead you astray. We want to warn, we want to teach you, and we want to inform you in every wisdom. Now, there's the difference between teaching and wisdom. Teaching gives you information. Wisdom is the way to apply that information in the right way so that you get the right product. And we need wisdom in the world in which we live because you and I want to be conformed to the image of the Son of God, and we don't want anything to take us off that track. And so we cry out to God for wisdom, and some people come along to warn us that there is deceptive voices out here, and you and I need to be careful. That's why you need to keep your nose in the Word of God. That's why you need to be around people who are growing and can encourage you to follow God. I mean, folks, it's just so easy for us to get off track. And so Paul is warning these Colossian saints. My brothers and sisters, stick with Christ. He's the real deal. I don't know what changed you, but in 1968, I know who changed me. His name was Jesus Christ. My eyes was open. I could see my sin. Then I could see my Savior. And my desires changed. I was a different man. I was religious before. I didn't go to church, but I was religious. I figured out I don't need to go to church. God knows I know he's here. But then when God saved me, I needed the Word of God and the people of God, so I got myself in church. And when I got saved, I wanted to be everywhere they had the Bible. My mother said, boy, you look like a fly in a bowl of milk. I mean, the church is all white, you know what I mean. But I told her, no, Mom, I'm going to drop a chocolate. Give me time. I'll flavor them all. But if they got the Bible, what I wanted was the Bible. And I tried to get into Women's Missionary Society because they had the Bible in there. God made a difference in my life, and he should make a difference in your life. When you're saved, things change. But remember this, though. You got three enemies that are always ready to take you down. You got the world, you got the flesh, and you got the devil. And they will come in amongst you, and they will try to deceive you. In fact, right here in Colossians, the Bible says concerning the world, in Colossians 2:8, he says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. This world, listen. When I was 18 years of age and got saved, I heard a man preach a message on the temptations of Christ, and I'll never forget it, because one of those messages was, the devil will make a bid for your soul. Do you realize that you could be offered things that you... I know when I got saved, I had opportunities to sin like I never had before. And if you're for sale, he's got a price. And the world gives you all of these world views, and you and I run around talking about, hey, my truth, my life, my lived experience. You don't have that. You don't understand me. What? I just want to be my authentic self. According to me, according to the Bible, Jesus said, out of your heart proceeds evil. If you're going to be authentic, you're going to be sinful. He didn't save you to be authentically sinful. He saved you to be like Christ, to transform you into his image. And you and I, we get these little things, oh yeah. I have people around, I'm spiritual. I just don't believe in church. You what? You spiritual, Well, if you're spiritual, submit yourself to the God who gave you the Holy Spirit, who enlightens you to the Word of God, who makes you part of the family of God, and puts you under the authority of teachers in the church. Oh, people come up with all this stuff, man. But anyway, let me go on. But you got the flesh, you got the world, and then you got your flesh. Colossians 2:11 says, in him you also were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. Bear it with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he hath made alive together with him, having forgiven you of all your trespasses. I want you to hear what he's saying. When you get saved, something dynamically happens. People say, well, I was created in the image of God, and God created me this way, and this is the way I'm going to be. You were created in the image of God, but you're also born a sinner. So when you get saved, you need to be transformed. Your desires, you should not submit yourself to your desires, unless they are in harmony with the Word of God. You can have desires contrary to the Word of God. You and I need to be aware of that. We need to be defending ourselves against that. I mean, I've had people come to me with all kinds of things. I had a dude come to me once and say, hey, I know why God put me on planet Earth. I said, oh, really? Yeah. He put me here to have babies. I mean, I got a woman over there. She's out there. She's got a baby by me. I got one over there, a Latino. She's got a baby by me. I got one in this city. I said, dude, you are just one irresponsible jerk. Don't you say God put you here for that. That's your own sinful desire. You're irresponsible. Repent of your sin. Why would people say stuff like that? I don't know, but they do. You don't live by your flesh. In fact, one of the ways you say, what does a mature Christian look like? Read the gifts of the Spirit in Galatians. You find out his character. He changes you. He gives you new desires. He gives you power to live for God. Don't be subdued by your flesh. And then there's the devil. He's a liar. Romans 1 tells us that he exchanged the truth of God for a lie. That's us as we're fallen. The Bible says here in Colossians 2:14, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Now, don't get too high and haughty. Satan knows you better than you know him. And he's a liar. But he can make a lie sound so good that you think it's the truth. You want it. I tell people what Satan wants. He doesn't want to stick a gun to your head and say, obey me, I'll kill you. No, he wants to so convince you. Remember in the Garden of Eden, the snake didn't come to Eve and say, look, I'm going to bite you, woman. You better eat this tree. No, he said, hey, you can eat of every tree in the garden, right? Except one. How come you can't eat of that one? Take a look at it. It's beautiful. It's desirable. You know why you can't eat of that tree? Because God knows when you eat of that tree, you're going to be like God. He's holding you down, baby. Go ahead, take it. She took it willingly. Satan desires to so thoroughly deceive us that we will willingly obey him and think that we're doing ourselves the God's service. Man, I tell you, I've had like all kinds of things being in the ministry. I had a woman come to my church for about 4 months. Then she wanted a meeting with me, and I met with her, and she said, I'm a prophetess. She said, God told me that me and you are like peanut butter and jelly. We're to meet every week, and I'll tell you what God told me for you to tell the people. I said, honey, God got my number. He got a direct line. He can call me anytime. And then when we tried to talk to her and her husband and brought him in, and she was talking, and one of our elders said, why don't you just let your husband talk? She got mad, cussed us all out, and walked out. She's a prophetess. I had another dude, equal treatment. He was a prophet. He was coming to our church, abusing his wife. In fact, she was running from him, going to churches. Police was trying to protect her, all that stuff. He had the gift of discernment. Tell you who wasn't saved in the church. He told me his wife wasn't saved because I told him you're supposed to love your wife like Christ loved the church. He said, well, I don't have to love her. She's not saved. I said, it didn't say that. It says you're supposed to love her, period. But anyway, he came before our deacons, and he said he was supposed to be trying to join the church. That wasn't going to happen. We were going to talk to him about that. But anyway, before we got to talk, he came out. He said, I got to say something to you. I know you might not believe it, but God has shown me Pastor Ware is not saved. My deacon said, okay, explain this to me. You're beating your wife, and you're doing this and that, and you're saved, and Pastor Ware is not saved. I don't get it. I didn't need this, so we moved on. But anyway, but people will do this, and they think they're right. Now, that's way out there, but there are things that are not quite that far out that you and I might fall to. So I want to encourage you that you need the Word of God. This is what Paul says the goal is. The goal of the ministry, he's warning them, but the goal of the ministry is what I would call mature ministering members, fully equipped saints, ministering for the glory of God as part of a body of Christ. They're mentally mature. That is, the Bible says we need a renewing of our minds. That's what Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above. If indeed you've been saved, don't get so drowned in all the news and all the social media and all the marketing plan. No, don't get drowned in that. Get drenched in the Word of God. Set your mind on things above. Know where you're going, folks. I got some insider trade stuff for you. If you want to invest and make boo-goo money, invest it in heaven. Well, we don't know if we're going to have a recession. I don't care. Jesus, we don't have no recessions in heaven. So my money is there. Set your mind on things above. Get in the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. Listen, one of the ways that you and I know that we are not mature is how we react. If the Spirit of God is working in us, he's conforming us to the image of Christ. We have the fruit of the Spirit. We should be mentally mature. We should be morally mature. Ephesians 4:12 says, he's given gifted teachers to equip us to do the work of the ministry. And I have to say that sometimes you and I are busy for God, but we're so busy for God, we don't have time to be with God. Our hands are doing things, but our heart is far from it. One of the things that God put a check on me on, showed me that I wasn't all that I thought I was. I was a young preacher. I was out there preaching on the streets. We had prostitutes. We had drug addicts, we had alcoholics, and we were going for Jesus. They were threatening us with no problem. We're going for Jesus. So I'm good. I'm good. I know I'm good. I was having this home Bible study. About 9 o'clock, I said, Bible study's over. Y'all can go home now. One guy said, I'm not leaving. I said, pardon me? This is my house. Bible study's over. He said, I'm not leaving. So I escorted him to the door, closed the door. They had an apartment, and in the apartment, there was, come in the doorway, you walk in, and there's apartments on either side. You couldn't get through the back. And so my wife and I, we went to bed, and all of a sudden, I hear the scratching on the wall outside. This dude's out there. I said, what? There was a back door out. So I was going to go out in the back, come around. He couldn't get out when I came through the front door. We were just going to have a little come to Jesus moment. And I was breathing hard, and I was doing the rest of my way. No. Call the cops. Call the cops. So I call the cops. Cops come. They bring him in. They said, what's going on? I told him to leave my house. He said, he can't tell me to leave his house. He's a preacher. I said, what? I said, y'all better talk to him. The cop said, no, you're in his house. You got to leave. So they took him out. Now, I tell you that to say this. I was breathing so hard. I was so tense. I wanted to hurt the man. And God said to me, hey, son, you're not as sanctified as you thought. Your heart is not with me. You need the Spirit of God to make you the man, the God that you need to be. And I had to learn to present myself to God there so I could grow spiritually, so I could be morally what I was supposed to be. That's what the Bible tells us, put off and put on. Colossians speaks about this. Other places speaks about this. Put off, put on, because God is more interested in our character than our busyness. He wants to see our character demonstrated in our personal life, in our family life, in our work life, in our church, in our community. We want to be men and women of God. Want to be mature. So what's the method of getting this done? Well, Paul says, for this end, to this end, to present you mature in Christ, to this end, I labor and strive, working according to the power that's working in me. And what I want you to understand is that when we say this, that we want to be God's man, God's woman, we want to be in the image of Christ, it's not by our strength. It's by God's strength. Now, we've been preaching a lot about being grounded, and we got everything in Christ, and that is so, so true. But some of you will be deceived into thinking, if I got everything in Christ, I don't have to do nothing. But that's wrong. Paul says, I'm working, I'm laboring. Athletic term. I'm striving. I'm trying to get this thing done. I want to be the man that God wants me to be. He said in 1 Corinthians 15:1 that God's grace has been given to him. He was the least of the apostles. But he said, I labored more abundantly than they all. I want to give you a scripture. See how Paul worked this out. And what his goal was, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. This scripture has blessed me many a time. This is Paul. How is he going to work this thing out? Call this up. God's working in him. Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 7. He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not knocked out. That lost my spot. Hold on. Yeah, it's probably a crazy thing. All right, here we go. Technology is good when it works. It's usually my fault when it doesn't. He said in verse 10, always caring about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Now notice this, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also might be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but notice this, but life in you. Death is working in us, but life in you. He says in verse 15, for all things are for your sake, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving abound to the glory of God. You know what he's saying? I'm laboring. I'm striving to see you be a man of God, to see you be a woman of God. I'm striving to see you in a way that I can present you faultless before the Father. And you know how that's happening? It's happening as I labor, as I give myself, and as I go through the trials and tribulations of life to be the man of God, to preach the word of God, live the word of God, exhort the people of God, to be the men and women of God that he wants them to do. I labor for that. And I'm dying on the outside, but having life on the inside. You know, the Spirit of God is not a spectator. Jesus said, I'm leaving you, but I'm going to give you another comforter, the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is to comfort us. He's to convict of sin. He's to teach us truth. The Spirit of God empowers us. He gifts us. You and I cannot do anything of eternal significance unless it's worked through the Spirit of God. You and I are disciples, making disciples. You and I have been saved by the grace of God and been discipled by the Spirit of God through the Word of God and the people of God so that we might be presented to God perfect in Christ Jesus. Now, this whole thing about discipleship. I have a friend with me here today. We're going to talk about discipleship. Devon McDonald. He's a native of Jamaica who grew up in New Jersey and attended high school, East High, went and played for Notre Dame. Don't hold that against him. We're a good church here. In 1993, he was a fourth round pick with the Indianapolis Colts. He's worked with Sports World Ministries. That's where I met him. He's married to Sharika. They have two daughters and resides in Indianapolis. He serves with Athletes in Action. He's an NFL chief of staff for chaplaincy. He works with the NFL alumni. He's on the Gideon's Players Association. Come on up, Devon. I'm going to ask him a little bit. All right, Devon, I want you to please share with us, how did we develop what you call this Paul-Timothy relationship?
This Paul, well, good morning, everybody. And God bless you, and thank you folks so much. This Paul-Timothy, well, in the ministry of Athletes in Action, one of the things that our wig right now, while an important goal, is that we make the disciple-making disciples. And so, and taking that on, you know, Matthew 28, going to all the world and make disciples. And so that was a big part of it. And I knew I need to be disciples, because that's the key, right? I mean, he tells us to go into all the world and make disciples. How can I make one unless I am one myself? Unless I understand that in true practice. So you are a man of God that we've been doing Bible study together. So it only makes sense in our relationship. And God spoke it in my heart. Said, a man have your same haircut, you got to get together.
That's a good answer. Amen. Devon and I, we've been through some things. You know, I watched how God changed your heart towards your family. Why don't you share that with us a bit?
Well, I would say this, it said, mark the upright man. And that's what I've done in you. I say how you treat your previous wife, Sharon, and how you treat your current wife. That spoke to me. And so that was an example for me of how to treat a woman. And so my family, I see how you treat Matt. I see how you treat all your children. You know what I mean? So they said that really was what inspired me to want to be a better man for my family, for my wife, Sharisha, and for our children.
Amen. I remember you said you became a servant to them.
Exactly. Yes.
That's all right. That's good. Then, you know, you went through a job change. We have people right now that jobs are shaky and all of that. And you had a situation where you thought you were going to be at a place working. All of a sudden, it's gone. How did you handle that?
Well, you know, it goes along with what we just talked about, that I put the job before my family. And so God took me out of that organization, and he literally ripped it from me because I didn't want to let go. But now I understand. I prayed a prayer. I said, God, I'm from Jamaica. I want to go back to Jamaica. And I just want to go back to Jamaica to go back to Jamaica. I want to go back to Jamaica to minister. Mm. And so a lot of time when we pray prayers, God starts to make moves contrary to what we think we should be. But in order for me to go to Jamaica, I couldn't be in that last ministry. Because when I came over to this ministry now with Athletes in Action, well, they say, you know what? We have 11 countries we want to impact. One of them is Jamaica.
Amen. Amen.
We need somebody from Jamaica to go back there, right?
Yeah.
So it's just amazing how God, you know, weave all that together, you know, to bring me to this place to understand that where I am in ministry is where I'm supposed to be.
Well, you know, Devon, I watch you and praise God for your passion for God and seeking him. And so you said disciples you need to make. So you wanted me to be your mentor. What are you doing? Are you discipling anybody?
Absolutely. So going back to Jamaica. Oh, by the way, I'm 55 years old. I've been away from Jamaica for over 40 years. And at that time, I've been back 3 times. When I go back twice in this April, be 10 times I've been back in 2 years. And so I have a young man down there that I'm discipling. We're actually going to Jamaica to do American football camp. We bring in American football, because in Jamaica we play the real football. They call it soccer, right? You know? And so we're going back down there to do American football, but that's just what we're using to impact the heart, to minister to them. So I'm going back to Jamaica to do that ministry.
Now, praise God, man. I am delighted. We're going to stay on the road. I told him, he says, you're my mentor. I said, I'm not your mentor. We're just fellowshipping together. He said, no, you're my mentor.
And I would say this real quick. I know time is dwindling.
Yeah, you look at the time.
Yeah, folks. So for my minister, I mean, for my mentor or for a disciple to a disciple, I go after him as much as he comes after me, even more so. And I believe that's what's needed for young guys, man. You mark the upright man. You mark somebody. Go after them, because I believe God has put it in their heart. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you. Take it.
All right.
Well, Devon and I, we have a good relationship, and we talk honestly about things. And he shared with me some trials he's been through, and I want to give you a little acrostic that Pat gave to me before I close up here. It says she took the trust, and she said trust. T is take God at his word and find comfort. The R, rest on his promises. The U, understanding that he is in control. And the S, stand still and know that he is God Almighty. I appreciate that. Pat gave me that, and she's a godly woman. What can I say? But I want to wrap up with this with a few applications as we wrap up. And I want to say this to you. In 2006, the Colts went to won the Super Bowl. That year, if you remember, the Colts had one of the worst defenses against the run in the league. And all the announcers are saying, oh, the Colts going in the playoffs. They won't make it through the first playoff. They're going to be pushed out. And I got the opportunity through Ken Johnson to preach to them before they went in that playoffs. And I remember I preached them a message, and then I challenged them. I said, you Christians here, you need to pray hard. You need to pray hard. You need to pray for God moments. God moments are something that's happened so unusual, even the announcers will go, oh my goodness, look at that. I don't know how it happened. And then I said, you need to pray hard, but you need to play hard. And you know what? They went through that thing. They won the Super Bowl. And one guy said, I put down 13 God moments on the run. I want to say to you, we need to pray hard. But we need to play hard. We want to be mature saints. You need to grow up, not give up when you're going through trials. You need to keep your eyes on the prize. And we want to be praying for our next lead pastor, but we want to be working hard to be the type of men and women of God that he wants us to be. And you need to be praying, and I need to be praying for some God moments. God moments when God shows up. Oh, I praise God for College Park Church. We are a great group of people here trying to serve the living God. I know the devil doesn't like us. I know the flesh is going to try to seduce us. I know the world is going to try to pull us aside. But we are secure in Jesus Christ, period. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for the indwelling Holy Spirit. We thank you for the fact that you want us to be mature in Christ. Father, we pray that we might commit ourselves to that. We might grow to that. Help us, Lord, to be the type of people that when you bring us that person to be our lead pastor, we jump right in and we're all laboring together for the glory of God. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.